Thanks for downloading the free feed of Sunday Night's Main Event. If you'd like the entire show commercial-free, please sign up to our Patreon at patreon.com/SNMEradio.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
NXT is on USA. Well, at least half of it. AEW announces their brackets for the Tag Team Championships. And yes, Brock Lesnar set to face Kofi Kingston and take away that title as SmackDown hits Fox. Welcome, everyone, to Sunday Night's Main Event right here on TSN Radio and News Talk 1290. My name is Jason Agnew, joined this week live in studio by Mark Andrada. Mark, I've already been asked by fans of the show, do we have new crazy conspiracy theories of professional wrestling on tap tonight?
Two things. Yes. Uh-huh. And number two, they're not crazy.
Well,
they're perfectly reasonable.
Okay. Well, we look forward to hearing some of those tonight.
I've been right more than I have not been not right.
Mark is here in studio with us, along with
that baffling sentence.
Dave Meltzer coming up later in the program. And of course, Turnbuckle Trivia, where two people will go head to head for a t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com. That is all to come. We're going to take a break. Come on back. A lot of news this week, so we will get into it next. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Hi, I'm RJ City. And you know what wrestling needs? Less wrestling. Join me and more famous wrestler Dalton Castle for Eye Contact and Anxiety, an evening of everything but wrestling. Monday, October 14th at 9 p.m. from Toronto's Comedy Bar at 945 Bloor Street West. You can look it up on the websites or social media, whatever. Either way, buy tickets and come, because we're too talented to take bumps.
And he caught Lesnar, and Lesnar stunned down to one knee. Kofi now again. And Lesnar, though, still standing up and having little effect. These shots, Byron, having little effect on Lesnar.
Oh, this is scary. This is real scary.
Oh, no! Dropping Kofi on the back of his head.
The ability to inflict extreme harm at a moment's notice.
Another German suplex as he releases Kingston.
I don't think Brock's done yet, Byron.
I think you're right.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Welcome back. This is the week in pro wrestling news. And that clip, as was pointed out when we got into the studio today by Mark Andrada, was from July 4th, 2015. That was the Beast and the East show. I had forgotten about that.
Yeah, they've already fought.
They have already fought Brock Lesnar and Kofi Kingston. But as we have been talking about on this show, they're about to do it again. Because I've been going on about this since the Fox deal was announced and Brock Lesnar lost the Universal Championship, and it is now official. As you saw on this week's SmackDown, Brock Lesnar will challenge Kofi Kingston for the WWE title on the debut of SmackDown on Fox Friday, October the 4th. Now, this is actually going to be Lesnar's first match on WWE Weekly Television since 2004.
Wow.
As all of his matches since returning to the company have been on pay-per-view, WWE Network specials, or house shows. And Lesnar has also been used in advertising for the September 30th edition of Raw, which is the go-home Raw for Hell in a Cell, so he'll appear on that but won't have a match. That's an incredible stat, and really, Mark, proves how special WWE has kept Lesnar's matches.
Yeah, absolutely. How special they've kept Lesnar in general.
In general, yeah. I mean, I think the Heyman thing has gotten tired. I was, however, happy to see. Mouth and I were talking last week. We got a question of if Lesnar's on SmackDown, with Heyman being the head writer for Raw, does he go with Lesnar? They've clearly kept the tandem together, and I think it's good because Lesnar talking is not something I want.
Well, I think what's going to happen is that Paul's just going to have to work overtime.
Yes.
I say Paul, his first name, like we're on a first name basis.
Yeah, you got to be careful now because there's two Pauls.
Right.
One's running Raw and one's running NXT.
Yeah. Sorry, Paul. The Emmy Awards air tonight, and while I'm sure that they had a red carpet, WWE will be rolling out the blue carpet for the Fox debut, as the company announced this week that there will be a blue carpet kickoff show starting at 7:30 p.m. Fox also announced that SmackDown will air live at 8 p.m. Eastern and 7 p.m. Central. However, it will run on tape delay in the Mountain and Pacific time zones. If you have the Fox Sports app, you'll be able to watch the show live whenever you want to, wherever you happen to be.
That's an interesting choice on Fox's part, because what it can do is take away from viewership of the live broadcast if they're offering it on a streaming service. And I guess they could count that towards viewership, but you want those TV ratings, because I don't know how advertising would work on the app, right? It might be a different set of advertisers.
You think so? It wouldn't just be a live stream the whole time?
Including
commercials.
Perhaps it would be, but you know, you're not going to get those numbers out for the West Coast feed. It'll take away. And I don't know how many people are hardcore enough to go ahead and watch it on a streaming service, but wrestling fans are very much conditioned to watching things on streaming services now, as I guess everybody is with Netflix and, you know, Amazon Prime and Disney Plus, which is coming out. But there is more programming on Fox Sports 1. However, not till Tuesday, November 5th, the weekly studio show will be happening. And we've heard over and over that Renee Young is going to be hosting the show. And according to a report from The Big Lead this week, that does seem to be the case. We had also reported that Booker T was supposed to be Renee's co-host, but apparently that one is not set in stone yet. Booker's being considered, as are Edge, Christian, and Paige. This is, of course, for the WWE Backstage show that is happening. Who would you like to see as the co-host there for Renee?
I don't know. That's hard. I think all three of those would be great.
I don't know about Edge being... Edge, for sure, could work, but Christian without Edge with Renee, can that work?
I think so.
Yeah?
I think so.
I don't know.
I'd also like to keep them together.
Edge and Christian?
Yeah.
Well,
so
me too. You always...
co-host. You know, like, have Renee as your, like... As your Jimmy Fallon or Johnny Carson.
Okay.
And Edge and Christian combined are Ed McMahon.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
Or Andy Richter.
Dare I say.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, enough for SmackDown. Now let's turn this week to the highly anticipated NXT debut on USA Network. Or at least the partial debut, yeah. Since the first hour aired on Fox and the second hour was exclusive to the WWE Network. But we'll talk more about that silly, complicated scenario later.
It threw me for a loop. Anyhow, get into... it did well.
Great. The good news is that the USA Hour did 1.179 million viewers, and that's a pretty solid number, and it's 40% higher than when WWE tossed an NXT special on the USA Network in December of 2017.
A few more WWE notes. Although the angle is completely ridiculous and horrendous for the character of Kevin Owens, WWE did try to justify the fact that Owens was still on this weekend's house shows by having Shane McMahon tweet out the following, quote, "While considering a resolution to this ludicrous lawsuit, I will allow at Fight Owens Fight to perform at WWE's upcoming tour of the Philippines, China, and Honolulu, Hawaii." Oh, and if you can't seem to get enough of WWE, in a week, the company confirmed that they'll be doing another Starrcade special for the network. It'll take place at the Infinite Energy Center in Duluth, Georgia, Sunday, December 1st. The network special portion of the show will be 1 hour, and it'll start at 7 p.m. So there you go, Mark. You get to... Starrcade, a show which Kevin Owens will probably be on as well.
Yeah, I actually, in Shane's tweet, I really liked his use of alliteration there. Ludicrous lawsuit?
Yeah.
He could have said anything. Ridiculous, preposterous. He went with ludicrous.
Do you think he's writing that himself?
Luda! Sorry, that was too much. I'm going to move over to AEW now. Yes, the company confirmed this week that the rumored name of Dynamite is, in fact, Dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
It's the name of their show. Remember, the whole thing kicks off on October 2nd and will feature Chris Jericho and two mystery partners versus Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, Nyla Rose versus Riho to determine the inaugural AEW Women's Champion, Cody Rhodes versus Sammy Guevara, MJF versus Brendan Cutler.
Do you have that prediction for the... do you think it's going to be LAX?
I thought it was going to be LAX, but then they've debuted LAX.
I know.
LAX, rather.
But they're not in the tournament.
Right.
So that leads me to believe that this will be their place. Or, well, this can still be their place, and they can ruin the tournament for the Bucks.
I still like your thing of Lance Storm.
I like that.
Yeah.
I think it's, but I mean, maybe that's too much nostalgia to be put in that prominent of a position.
Sure. But then who's the third?
Edge.
Oh, get out of town.
All right.
And I'm the one with the weirdo theories?
could be. Listen, he gets denied the co-host position on the on the SmackDown show, and then he runs over to AEW.
That's the storyline, yeah.
This past week's episode of Road to TNT featured the reveal of the bracket for the tag team tournament. The tournament features seven teams, and it is single elimination. On one side, the first round bracket, we have the Young Bucks versus Private Party, and the winner of that takes on the winner of the Lucha Brothers versus Jurassic Express. Now, that's the name that's being given to Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy. The other side of the tournament has SoCal Uncensored versus is the Best Friends, and the winner of that match takes on the Dark Order. If you remember back, they already received a bye to the second round.
Yep.
The tournament kicks off on week two of AEW television, where the Bucks will take on Private Party, and the other first two round matches will happen on the following week's TV. That is October 16th. The two semifinal matches will then take place on Wednesday, October 23rd, and that means, Mark,
yep,
we have the AEW tag team titles to be crowned on October 30th, the day before Halloween. They have really put plans in place for all of this. And wouldn't it be appropriate if the Dark Order won the day before Halloween?
Oh my gosh, that's who you want to win, the Dark Order?
I don't want them to win.
No.
I can't see. They're just so not catching on with this fan base.
You are wearing a Dark Order t-shirt right now. I'll have everybody. Everybody should know that at home. In other AEW news, Kenny Omega decided to fire some shots at NXT this week. In an interview with Sportskeeda's Dropkick Discussions, Omega commented on the war between AEW and NXT, stating, quote, "You can call it a war if you want. To me, it's like we're in a completely different kind of business. I mean, what they're doing is different from what we're doing, and it's weird because it's hard to say you're going to war with people that I call my friends. And yet, we're going to war. When I sit back and look at the grand picture, I'm going to war with these dudes that if we were on the same show together, the same show, the same promotion, let's pretend there were no borders. Let's pretend there were no promotions. Let's just pretend that there's one big promotion. If these guys were on the same show as me, they'd be in the dark match. They'd be in the opening match of my main event match. You gonna call that a war? You gonna call that competition? Go ahead. Okay, maybe it's fun for you to do. That's cool. But we're on different planets, and if you're going to see that right away, or you're going to see that right away, you're going to see 10,000 plus arenas sold out, you're going to see smiles on fans' faces, and you're going to see real stars, not developmental talent, but real stars appearing on your television sets every week," end quote.
I mean, that's, for the one person in that organization that I would not expect to say that,
yeah,
is Kenny Omega.
Yep.
But it turns out, you know, we've heard this from him, which is like, wow, we're firing shots. And along with that, there was another statement that he made in regards to WWE running competition against the charity show that AEW did. And Kenny had said, wow, that's great. Your competition is against our charity show. We're just trying to raise money. So it has been him that has been the outspoken one. I mean, we've seen Cody with actions with the throne and stuff like that. But Kenny is the one who's really getting a little deeper.
Yeah, I don't know if I mean, it's a fine line, right? I don't know if I want Kenny Omega to do that. I don't know if that's the character I want to see from Kenny Omega. It's bad enough that Seth Rollins does this kind of nonsense, which, frankly, I liked Seth Rollins until he started tweeting all this nonsense at Will Ospreay and at everybody. Yeah. And it's now when I look at him, I'm like, I don't like you.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yep, I feel the same. Maybe because with Rollins, because Rollins is part of WWE, he's punching down with his comments.
Sure.
Kenny's still punching up with his,
But he's very good. Like, he's a great wrestler.
He is, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like maybe I want that babyface champion type character to be a little more humble.
Well, he's not a champion, though. He's losing now, Mark.
I know, but
he's on a losing streak.
He's the best bout machine.
The Daniel Bryan of AEW. Lose, lose, lose.
All right.
That's what's happening here with Kenny Omega. I tell you, they're learning from WWE booking, and that's what they're doing.
Don't say that.
A bit of an update on Big Cass.
Don't say that either.
Last week on the show, we talked about an incident that he had at a WrestlePro event in New Jersey. This week, Cass issued a statement which basically said he's still struggling with depression and his demons got the better of him last Saturday night. He apologized to many at the event, namely Kevin Matthews, Pat Buck, and Joey Janela. The entire apology, if you want to read it, is available on Enzo Amore's Twitter account. Promoter Kevin Matthews responded to the tweet saying he does believe in second chances and looks forward to having Cass back when he is good to go. I tell you what he did, though, is he definitely ruined his chances from returning to WWE for a while, I would think.
Yeah, I hope he gets the help that he needs.
Yep.
To end off the wrestling news, an update on Hacksaw Jim Duggan. You may remember that he encountered some heart problems a few months ago. Well, his wife wrote that Duggan underwent two emergency surgeries in 24 hours due to a severe infection. He'll be in the hospital for a few more days, but doctors think he's got all of his infection solved. Of course, we here at Sunday Night's Main Event send our best to Hacksaw.
Yeah, you know, there's a guy that I've, of course, seen at conventions and indie shows, and he still just looks like a dude who just enjoys hanging out with fans and doing his thing.
Seems like a real sweet guy.
He does, yeah. Let's flip over to the world of mixed martial arts, or at least where MMA meets pro wrestling meets Hollywood. You see, Dana White told TMZ that The Rock gets what The Rock wants. And according to Dana, The Rock wanted to present the brand new and a fully made up BMF belt to the winner of the Nate Diaz Jorge Masvidal fight at UFC 244 on Saturday, November the 2nd. You know, it's crazy how Dwayne Johnson asked to appear on a UFC pay-per-view right around the same day their parent company Endeavor, which also happens to have ties to The Rock and his productions, announced it would be going public this Friday, thus linking one of their key stars with one of their huge brands. So yes, if you would like to invest in the UFC, you can do so starting this Friday on the New York Stock Exchange, Mark.
You getting a cut of that?
I'm just saying, I'm throwing it out there. I just feel as though a lot of this news is coincidental, including more Dana White news that you have in store.
Oh, goodness. Dana White told Barstool Sports that the UFC is going to book a third fight between Stipe Miocic and Daniel Cormier after Miocic recovers from their last matchup. Cormier has yet to publicly announce whether or not he's going to continue fighting or retire.
I think he should retire and maybe become the commentator of SmackDown or do something with WWE.
That'd be pretty cool.
Listen, he shows up on a show with Brock Lesnar already on it. Oh, that might be a draw. Dana White, again, continued talking this week, said he'd be interested in talking about Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Georges St-Pierre if Nurmagomedov versus Tony Ferguson doesn't happen. Along with that, during a Twitter Q&A, White also said Conor McGregor will fight early next year if he doesn't fight at UFC 245 in Las Vegas on December the 14th. Dana White mentioning all of the UFC's big stars aside from John Jones this week, definitely to me not a coincidence with this IPO coming up, and good on him because you want that stock to soar.
Yep, hype that stock.
One more, Mark.
Yep, one last note here from Bellator. It relates back to wrestling though. So former WWE champion Jack Swagger, aka Jake Hagar, will return to action this October for his third fight with Bellator. Hagar is currently 2-0 and he'll face Anthony Garrett on October 25th.
There you have it. That wraps up our week in wrestling and some MMA hype man news. When we come back, we'll get into NXT, what we thought, what some of you thought as well. And we will continue on as we talk about the very busy week in wrestling and MMA. It is Sunday Night's Main Event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio.
Hello, Gordy Levesque here. No one swings and hacks like I do. And no one struts quite like I do, too. And no one brews beer like Great Lakes do. Canuck Pale Ale. My beer. Your beer. Our beer. Available in over 400 LCBO and grocery store across Ontario for only $2.80. Great Lakes Brewery. Brewed for you, Ontario.
Right now, you're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event, and you're hearing this ad. Yep, it's a commercial. And it could be your commercial. We've got sponsorship packages available to suit any budget, so I could be talking about what you're selling. For more information, email me, jason@snmeradio.com. Get the message out about your product or service to thousands of listeners in Southern Ontario via TSN Radio and around the world with our podcast. It all starts with an email to jason@snmeradio.com.
There is something special in the atmosphere here. This is passion. This is pride. Groundbreaking, defiant, undisputed, and damn sure unapologetic. We are not your kind. We are here. We are live. R-N-X-T.
There is really a lot to unwrap from the first, first partial edition of NXT that happened this week. Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. The reason I say partial, Mark, is because I had a tough time watching this thing.
Really?
Well, here's the thing. I got up, as you know, and for the fans, I traveled this week. I went to see a couple Blue Jays games. So I got up on Thursday, and I was trying to leave. So I logged into WWE Network, and all I could watch was the second hour of the show, of which I will give it to WWE. They put a great recap at the beginning of the second hour of what the first hour was, and it really had Moro lay things out.
Right.
But then I got here this morning early to try to watch the first half, and the WWE Network is down for Canadian viewers of it.
Right.
So I had to watch clips and stuff to get all the first hours. So, I mean,
I see what you mean. It wasn't difficult to watch that it was not good. It was
difficult
that logistically it was hard for you to watch.
Oh, no. There was this felt important.
Yeah,
it really felt important. So starting things off here, we played a clip of the promo, and this is something that hooked you in right away. Because as much as I'm like the TV guy and I always talk about production, I mean, you work in stage and lighting and sound, and the beginning of this show really got you because of the transitions, right?
Yeah. The opening of this show was probably the best produced wrestling television maybe I've ever seen. That's got to be
that's
up there.
High praise.
It's got to be in the top five for sure. The best produced segment of television? I think that's it. Like,
well, going from tape to live with the trick they did with Hunter behind the scenes and then opening the curtain
and the smooth out cut to Mauro, Mauro in the crowd, and then just over Mauro's shoulder into Io Shirai's entrance. And Io Shirai's got one of the best entrances in NXT as far as I'm concerned. Like, I just thought it was like 1, 2, 3, bang, bang, bang. We know we're watching and we know we're in for a good time.
And you know what's interesting about that? We've talked on this show a lot about how if you watch Raw from 2019, last week's Raw,
sure,
and you watch Raw from 2009 or 1999,
how'd you know the difference?
It's a very similar format, and this was something a little bit different.
Yep.
What did you think, though, about? Okay, it's a very excited arena.
Yep.
But it is a very small arena.
Right.
How did you feel about that? Because that's one of the things that, you know, we're looking at them being criticized for that.
I didn't mind it. Here's the thing about that criticism, and this is what I was going to say about this NXT, this impending war between NXT and AEW. I've got a few points about this. The thing is that if NXT is going from this small, 400 or 500 seats in full sale, they're going to have to move. They can't stay in full sale through January, February, March.
Like, right.
They're going to start moving up. And if they just move to a slightly bigger venue and then a slightly bigger than that venue as the year goes by, we're going to have the perception of a thing that's growing.
Right.
As opposed to AEW, which is starting at an 11,000 seat venue.
Right.
And may have to come down to a 6,000 seat, 7,000 seat. Maybe, you know what I mean?
That is something that we saw at the end of WCW when they would come up to Canada and they'd run like the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium.
Yeah.
And this is where, so to put that in perspective for you, that's, you know, you're in the Toronto area, but you're not running where the Leafs play. You're not even running where the Leafs minor league franchise, the Marlies, play, but you're running in the OHL city that is next door.
Yeah.
You know, in I think that's maybe a 5,000, if that type of deal. So
it's a bad look, right? If you went from something big and have to go down to something small, whereas NXT is only going to win here, because if they're going from a 400 or 500 seat venue, if they go to even a 1,000 seat venue, it's going to look better.
If that brand touring is, do you think the novelty of that brand touring is still there?
Of NXT?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah?
Okay. I think it's only going to build from here.
Okay. Well, we'll see what they do. I mean, listen, this is week one.
Yep.
It looked very important, but it is hard to maintain this momentum.
Is this a good time to talk about this theory that I have about this thing?
Okay, sure. If you want to throw before we get even into the actual realities of the episode, if you have a theory, go right ahead.
I've got a theory about this whole NXT versus AEW thing. And I'm analogy I will make is to late night television.
Okay.
So if you remember, forever, forever, forever ago when we were little kids. And
Letterman
and
Johnny Carson.
Well, Johnny Carson was the king.
Sure.
He was the king. He was number one forever.
Yep.
And he retired when Arsenio Hall beat him. Arsenio Hall beat him in the ratings, and Arsenio Hall became number one.
Really?
And, yes.
I don't remember that.
This is why Johnny retired. Johnny retired because he was number two to Arsenio. And he was like, I'm no longer the king. I've been uncrowned. It's time for me to step away. And he stepped away, and Arsenio was number one. And what followed was the war between David Letterman and Jay Leno, because Letterman thought he was going to get it, but then Leno got it, and everybody was like, everybody had to pick a side. And it was like, well, do you like Jay Leno or do you like David Letterman? And in that war, Arsenio Hall dropped to number 3. Now, there were a bunch of other factors that Arsenio's show wasn't, he had to change his show when he got to number 1, and it wasn't what brought him to number 1. He started having the kind of guests that maybe his audience didn't want to watch, or something happened there. So there is that. But the war between Letterman and Leno left the number 1 in the dust. And I'm saying that the same thing is going to happen here. We're going to have a war between NXT and AEW.
I see. Okay.
Everybody's going to get excited about this war, and you're going to have to pick a side because people like to do that.
Yeah.
And in that war, Raw and SmackDown are going to get left in the dust.
Well, I think for the fans that listen to this show,
yeah,
the fans that are buying the Pro Wrestling Tees t-shirts,
yeah,
and are all hyped about the alternative that's coming about,
yep,
you're right. This now becomes the appointment viewing. What used to be Monday night appointment viewing is now Wednesday night appointment viewing. When people are tuning in, they're flipping back and forth. Do you remember that? We never got to experience the actual excitement of flipping back and forth. But I can tell you that I would watch Raw from 9 till midnight and then wait to watch Nitro after that.
Right.
And of all things, this is going to sound really ridiculous.
No.
I was so excited when The Ultimate Warrior was going to show back up on WCW.
Why is that ridiculous?
Well, because it was the kid in me,
yeah,
that was
course.
Like, oh,
all kinds of
Warrior. Well, that really crapped the bed fast.
Right, okay, it's ridiculous because of what happened.
Oh, because of what happened, and because it was the Ultimate Warrior, now what I know about him.
Sure.
But yeah, it's not bad. I mean, this is the exciting night.
Yeah.
They are very much trying to make SmackDown, at least. I mean, I've said this about Raw. Raw's in cruise control.
Yep.
Like, what's happening with Raw? SmackDown, there's a lot of pressure there because of Fox.
Right.
But Raw is what Raw is.
We'll see what happens with SmackDown. Like, SmackDown is perfect for kids. Because what's a grade 7 or 8 kid doing on a Friday night?
I don't know if it's geared at kids. If all that is said about Fox is true about the more sporting feel about it,
mm-hmm,
then I don't necessarily know if it's going to be a kid brand. But I mean, you're right, they're home at that time and not out, and your 20-something audience that is actually, there's more young viewers of the NXT brand.
Mm-hmm.
It skews a little bit younger than does Raw, which is 50 plus. It's getting to that point, 40 plus, 50 plus. And SmackDown, I guess those 50 plus might still be home on a Friday night too, but you're going to miss that big 20 to 40 chunk, I think.
For sure. For sure you will.
Let's talk more about NXT before we sever off to the other two sides. They started things off after that lovely transition, putting the women out there first. Mia Yim, Bianca Belair, Io Shirai, Candice LeRae. Candice LeRae wins. This immediately sets up Candice LeRae for a title shot on October the 2nd, which of course is the first night that they go head to head. And I'm going to bet that they're going to ride the Candice LeRae train, and she will defeat Shayna Baszler on that first show.
You think so, huh?
Feel good moment.
Yeah, I could see it. I could see that. But I mean, I could also see them keeping Shayna Baszler around.
Yeah.
And just have her as like the Brock Lesnar, you know, like as
That's
the dominant
true.
Champion who just there is. Will can anybody like establish her more? Establish her to this new, quote unquote, new audience that's going to be watching on USA Network.
Right.
As this unstoppable force that, I mean, who can beat this person?
Yeah.
She'll just hold on to this forever now. I mean, and what are they going to do with her on the main roster? Drop the ball?
I've been saying this for weeks now. We call it the main roster.
Right.
But this show is as important as those other two shows. I now consider this just as mainstream. Like, this is an important show.
Yeah, but you can't call it that. You can't call it mainstream because in order for it to be new, it can't be called mainstream.
I suppose.
You know what I mean?
It's got to be the alternative brand.
Well,
like alternative music is just cool in the 90s, right?
Yeah. But what was alternative about that music?
Nothing.
What was alternative about Nirvana or Pearl Jam?
Nothing.
Nothing.
It was just a new resurgence from a new area.
Yeah, they were new. It was just new rock.
Yeah.
Even alternative comedy in the 90s and, you know, and I guess early 2000s, mostly the 90s. It was what's alternative comedy? It's the same stand-up comedy that was before, except now our stand-ups aren't wearing shirts and ties. They're wearing plaid. Same as the music, you know?
Velveteen Dream loses on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Roderick Strong wins. So 2 points of conversation here. Number one, I have been wanting Undisputed to be clad in gold.
Yes,
for the longest time.
Yep.
This was a great way to start because they are the force. They are the brand. They are the, you know, the NWO type of deal, yep, of this brand. The music is very similar to NWO.
Yep.
Adam Cole is over like nobody's business.
Oh my goodness. People are screaming Adam Cole, baby.
That's all I heard after NXT here in Toronto when I was walking away. It was all the Adam Cole chants.
Yeah, man, listen, I went to go see Toy Story 4 in the movie theater and people were screaming it. No, not really. I'm just, you looked at me like I was being serious. I was just saying that they scream it everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that actually did happen. but I love this, and I would love to see 6 months down the line, there is that pay-per-view, there is that takeover where they lose it all.
Right.
Like, and not now. They lose it all, and that causes the tension.
Right. And it starts with Roderick Strong. He loses it first.
Maybe Roddy's the one that keeps it.
Oh, could you imagine?
You know what I mean? Like, he's
Adam
the last
Cole gets
one.
Mad about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, something yeah, like that.
Yeah.
So that was very cool. But Velveteen Dream loses. And with that in mind, you know, I'm maintaining that they're all on equal ground now. Velveteen Dream has been seen in the promos for Fox. He is a very big character.
Right.
Do you sense that this is maybe the end of Velveteen on NXT and he'll be moving over to the SmackDown brand?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. They need some new talent over there. They need some new blood.
Freshen
and they need
it
to
up.
Make it feel like it's new, feel like it's fresh, you know? So yeah, I could see him going over to SmackDown. I think that'd be great. Great fit over there.
Yeah, I could see that as well. We also saw Pete Dunne, who didn't surprise me very much, but Imperium did. Like, when Imperium ran out, I was like, what's Walter doing here with his boys?
I was afraid. When I saw that, I was afraid that Walter wasn't there because, you know, the scuttlebutt on Walter is that he doesn't like to travel or whatever. He doesn't want to go to the States.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, they made a really big misstep here. I thought, because when I saw the three guys, I thought it was just going to be them.
Right.
And Walter wasn't going to come out. As soon as Walter came out, I went, oh, thank goodness. Okay, this is going to be fine. It's going to be fine. But could you imagine if he wasn't there?
Oh, the crowd would have turned on.
Oh,
that's one thing. It is a very smart crowd that they're dealing with. And, I mean, I'm wondering how long that is going to continue because they are in the same place every week. And that can tire out a crowd.
Yeah, just for now.
They only
have until December, right?
Yeah. And then they haven't booked anything beyond that.
They'll be okay.
Imperium, though. Do you think that this is, because I don't know what happens with NXT UK here. I mean, NXT UK, these guys exist there. They're working on this brand as well. Feuds are going to be different to me. It's kind of strange. But what I saw, we just talked about the fact that Undisputed is, they're the kings. They got all the gold.
Yep.
But Imperium has got Walter. He's also got gold. They each have four guys and War Games is coming up.
Yeah, that would be incredible.
Insane, right?
My goodness, could you imagine? Well, oh, that would be so great. I'm very excited at the prospect of that happening. But
is it too soon though? Because I mean, it's 2 months away, November.
No, I think you could do it in 2 months.
Yeah,
you could do it in 2 months and go right up against an AEW show with that.
Oh my goodness,
is that how that maps out?
I don't know. Is it the same night?
I don't know.
Okay,
I don't know. Well, I'd have to look it up.
Along with that, on this show, Lio Rush came back.
Yes.
This, to me, very much the same as Luke Harper.
Yeah.
In regards to the fact that you had someone that there was tension behind the scenes, but ultimately, WWE just doesn't want to lose anyone. So their goal is to make them as happy as possible before their contract runs out so they at least, you know, don't immediately go, I'm not resigning, forget it.
I think it's a double-edged sword as well, because if they just left Lio Rush and Luke Harper off of television and never mentioned them again, and when their contract went up, they went away, that would be such a big, they'd come out of WWE with such high status, where if the WWE decides that they want to push these guys now, and you know, so if they want to stay, they could stay, like, to your point.
Sure.
But if they decide that they're going to leave and they don't resign, well, now we're in a position that we can cut you down.
Well, yeah, you can book them under, or you can just make them seem like lower on the card.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't even have to bury them if you just make them regular.
Yeah.
They're not made special by sitting out.
Yeah, you just take the shine off of them. That's exactly it. If they're sitting out, they come out with such high status. Well, if you give them high status now, you can take it away.
Yeah, there is that to it as well. And finally, Riddle versus Dane in the street fight. To me, I thought this... Okay, there's two things on this particular show that... I mean, I guess it's a bit of nitpicking.
Sure.
Number one, before we get here, was the finish of the Roderick Strong Velveteen Dream match. This fell into classic NXT for me, where the match was over after the interference from Undisputed and Roddy hit that backbreaker.
Yeah.
And there was a near fall there. I'm like, why wasn't that the pin? Like, I was like, oh, I see what they're doing, and it's not done. He has to kick out. Come on. Too much. Along with that, I felt like the end of this, the street fight where everyone just ran out, was like, oh, we found a reason to end this with a big brawl.
Yeah.
That's all.
You didn't like it?
I didn't buy into this as much. I don't like this feud.
It was the first one to me. For me, it was the first one, and you get to see a lot more people on the show, and it's like,
right.
Wait, who's that guy? Wait, who's that guy? I mean, we know who they are, but I can see that other people, if this is their first time seeing it, are like, wait a minute, who are these guys? What's going on here?
To me, I just don't like Riddle and Dane together. I haven't liked this since the beginning, and
yeah.
I think it's because my idea and my desire for Riddle is to be facing Adam Cole, and I'm hoping...
Well, that's where it's going to go,
we
right?
get that next week, we see an exact repeat of this, and it's Riddle coming out on top, and he's headed towards Adam Cole.
I think that's where this is
yeah.
headed. I think that's the only thing that makes sense.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
All right, so overall... I mean, that's aside from the tech issues that I suffered, overall,
and you're
great...
not the only one. A lot of people
oh, no.
were complaining about that. I saw that on Twitter. A lot
yeah.
of people were complaining.
But it wasn't the same as me with being here in Canada. So what happened with the WWE Network is when people tried to make the switch over from the USA Network to WWE Network, the network crashed for a lot of people.
I guess over 1 million people tried to do it at the same time.
I guess so. And that was too much. Ever since WWE switched over their server, because they were being run by the people who ran... MLB,
right?
And they switched over to someone new, and I don't remember who it is. But there's been a series of problems. This is also SummerSlam. Like, Mouth and I had terrible problems
right.
watching SummerSlam
right.
here
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
So this is not the first time. And again, for Canadians, right now, as we're recording this, cannot get into their WWE accounts. You can log in, but it will not connect to your provider. And I don't know if that's been solved by the time this airs. Like, we're recording this in the afternoon of Sunday.
Right.
I don't know if it's going to be solved. But right now, I tried to watch this morning and have been locked out and cannot get into my... cannot watch through my cable provider.
Right. See, all my stuff's American, so I don't have
right.
the same problems as you.
Right.
Like, my Apple account, everything's American. As far as my internet's concerned, I'm in the States.
Right. Yeah, so. Not so much for me. So Canadians, I've been screwed a little bit at the moment. Canadians getting screwed by WWE.
Well, I don't know. You saw what happened with Lacey Evans, right?
Oh, we'll talk about that later.
Well,
we'll do that.
There's an American getting screwed by Canada.
That's right. We'll do that a little bit later in the show. We'll tease that because it was brought to our attention by All Things. As we record this at News Talk 1010, Mark and I are hauled into a room and asked who this is and why they're fighting with the police. We'll talk about that in the last segment of the show, though. You are listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. You're doing so on TSN Radio.
Well, she's all you'd ever want. She's the kind I'd like to flaunt and take to dinner. She always knows her place. She's got style, she's got grace. She's a winner. She's a lady. Oh, 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 she's a lady.
Hey there, I'm Morty Jenkinson. When I'm not coaching the offspring in soccer, baseball, or wrestling, cutting the lawn, or playing taxi, it's shirts off, Crocs on, slather on the SPF 100, fire up the barbecue, and crank up the Bob Seger. While lounging in the kiddie pool, of course. Ryan Reynolds wishes he was me. Over my dad body Pilsner from Great Lakes Brewery. Now available at your local LCBO.
If you're a fan of Sunday Night's Main Event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows. Hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
I know, we're all very excited, and, well, we have to admit, Baron Corbin as King of the Ring, well, that is just a breath of fresh air. Now, I know most of you wanted anybody but me as your king. But now you're starting to realize I'm not only the king you wanted, but the king you needed.
You know he's not the king of Bedside Man. He's not the Tom Jones who lives next door. He's not the king of Bedside Man. He hardly
Welcome back, and there he is. Somewhere Bartender Dave is so happy. He, by the way, will be here next week co-hosting the show to share his thoughts on King Corbin, Mark.
Yep.
Crowned on Monday night, and then the... Well, I'll get into the ceremony
I'm not surprised about any of this. I'm not surprised about Corbin. No, I called Corbin from the very beginning. I said it was either going to be Corbin or Shane McMahon.
Oh, that's right. You said he was going to interrupt the tournament.
Which he did do. So I was right twice somehow.
Well, Baron Corbin, though, a lot of people were hoping that this was not going to be Corbin. A lot of people were hoping that it was going to be Chad Gable here to actually get a wrestling push. But I think it was someone during the midweek market. It might have been Ken from Toronto during the midweek markout asked, is this going to be a gimmick or is this going to be a push? And I think that this is going to be a gimmick, and it could have been death for Chad Gable.
Yeah.
For Corbin, though,
I think it's perfect.
Not bad, because he's kind of a goofball.
Yeah. Also, King Corbin rolls off the tongue in a nice
alliteration
is nice.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about this King Corbin thing is I've turned a corner on Corbin. I know, like, we all joke around about, oh, Corbin sucks, and sort of we like to troll and pretend that we love him.
Always said he's good on the mic.
He's great on the mic. And his matches this tournament, it's not been bad. He's been wrestling some really great people, to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, he hasn't sucked the life out of the room the way he had in the past. And frankly, WWE needs another heel. They need a good heel.
I didn't mind. Because they just, I get it. Because they have all heels. I get it now. I was on to my next thought. And I'm like, wait a minute, who are they? Okay. I don't have any baby faces and they have all these heels. I didn't like the coronation ceremony on SmackDown.
Right.
So Corbin comes out there by himself and he's just talking to the crowd like he's cutting a promo. If this is a case, so there's two ways that I thought WWE could have gone with this and made it more impactful. Corey Graves has been sitting there, a commentator,
yes,
constantly,
yep,
saying
like
how great Corbin is.
Yep.
Put Corey in the ring, have him get the heat in the ring, bring Corbin out, and let them do this big ceremony for him. He sits there in the chair. He looks kind of dumb, but Corey's selling it for him.
Yeah.
I think it would have been close to his character.
Do a thing where Corey is the Bobby Heenan to Corbin's Lex Luger.
Okay.
The narcissist.
I thought you were going to go.
Remember when he mispronounced narcissist over and over again?
Going to go when he was Nick Bockwinkel, because they can both talk, right?
Right, right.
But nonetheless, you have two guys. And I don't mean that forever. I just mean for the one-off of the coronation ceremony.
Yeah. Or you know what? Better yet, get Corey Graves to be his mouthpiece, not that he needs one, and have them, and then just get Corey Graves off that commentary desk.
Do you want him off commentary? I want him with Tom Phillips on commentary.
I don't know. I'm not trying to blame anybody for anything, but I just don't love any kind of bickering style of when people just bicker and bicker. I'm like, I don't want to hear this over and over again for 3 hours.
The bickering, true, but the fun insults that Corey Graves drops sometimes on, like, Phillips.
Absolutely.
I like that.
That's a fun little burn the guy every so often, sure.
Yeah, and it's like, it's Jesse insulting McMahon.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, that type of thing. You don't need to fight back. You know, Phillips is there as the whipping boy, and that's fine. I don't like Renee and Corey together, and I think Renee getting off the commentary desk is probably fine. Let her do the Fox show.
But she's so good at that.
She's always been great at that, and she's great backstage as well, doing those things. Charlie's good, too.
And to be fair, she's good on commentary, too, but I like her in that other position, too.
I'll say it. If I've said it once, I said it 1,000 times. Renee with William Regal on commentary was so...
The best.
...fun to listen to.
Yes.
They both had their places there, and Regal essentially established himself as to what Nigel does now.
Mm-hmm.
Very technical, but along with that, he had this jokey fun side where she called him Mr. Regal all the time. It was excellent.
Yes, I agree.
With Corey, it's not good. So also, though, before I move along from this Corbin thing, because to me, the best thing to be done, I mean, one is Corey Graves. The second one, if you want Corbin to get great heat, bring Lawler out. He is the wrestling king. He's still the guy known as the king. Have him be there to coronate the new king and make Corey Graves try to make Lawler kiss his feet. Then that gives a reason for Chad Gable to come out and destroy everything, and you can continue on with this little feud or whatever they're doing. Gable had no reason to come out.
Other than he lost the match.
Sure. But this is a reason.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not just, it was so formulaic, and it wasn't a coronation ceremony. It was a promo is all it was.
Right.
As opposed to being something a little bit more special. Listen, the King of the Ring tournament's been great.
It was great. Yeah.
Considering what it was with, who was the last one? Bad News Barrett was the last one. Or the one with Sheamus in it. Those are all garbage.
It's some bad news for Barrett.
WWE did a great job with this one. So that was kind of your focus. Maybe not your focus on SmackDown, but that did happen on SmackDown. And, you know, we tied up the King of the Ring tournament. Raw to me this week, Mark, was the Fiend show.
Yeah.
It was Bray Wyatt constantly. The focus of the show, was it too much for you?
No, I don't think so. It wasn't too much for me because I'm not tired of those Firefly Funhouse segments. And I like that that's how he cuts his promos.
True.
Like exclusively that way. That's the only way we see him without the mask is in that environment. I like it. There's something about it. I'm still sort of wrestling, pardon the term there, but I'm wrestling with this thing in my head. It's appealing. I think it's appealing to everybody in the same way that the Joker appeals to people. And the same way that
it's
like
good timing.
Yeah, there's this disruptor attitude. There's like I know that Seth Rollins' thing is burn it down, but there is that in the zeitgeist right now of like, let's burn it down. We need to burn down the establishment. We need to burn down the structure. And that's, I think, what the Fiend is. Like when we were kids, it was like this, the idea of like black trench coats was the aesthetic,
yeah,
right?
You can't do that anymore.
Well, yeah. Yeah, but that was the aesthetic. Yeah, and I feel like this is that. This is that same thing to this generation as the black trench coat was to ours. That Joker smile, like the Joker aesthetic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that's what it is. And there's something there. There's something happening. And I feel like it's appealing to those people.
Okay. That's all fine. And, I mean, you're right. It actually does work well now considering the Joker movie's coming out. And this movie looks fantastic.
Yeah.
If you're relating it to that. But if you are relating it to that, and it's something that I've said on the show over and over again, is why is that character concerned with getting a title?
For the same reason that the Joker wanted to beat Batman and wanted to take down all of the crime bosses, because that character wants chaos. And the best way to achieve chaos is with power. And so the power is in the belt, so they take the belt and they make everything around them chaotic.
Okay. Now you've explained it to me like that. That's fine.
To me, not that they've ever said that on television, but that's my theory.
I've never thought about it that way, actually. But I mean, if that is the case, if they're going to justify it in that way, that's great. I'd like to see that told to me on television well.
But I mean, again, you know, we're wrestling fans, so we just make up our own storylines.
That's the way, and WWE depends on us to do that. So let me ask you this, though, because, you know, Monday night, I just thought it's the new program. Bray Wyatt, the Fiend, going into Hell in a Cell, does he have to win?
Yes.
I agree.
Yeah.
Because if he doesn't, he is the same Bray Wyatt that we just saw who gets there, doesn't get it done.
That's right. And I think I think this is how we turn Seth into Batman. You know what I mean? Like we turn Seth into Batman. We give him a bat costume.
Okay.
Not really turn him into Batman, but then he turns into the Dark Knight that has to like bring order to chaos. We'll see. Who knows? I'm making stuff up.
Yeah.
That would smile on Jason. Yep.
One too far.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm an NXT match.
Did you notice at the end of it, one thing I didn't like about the segment was your champion, the man who holds your gold, is cowering in the corner because there's a man in a mask looking at him for an extended period of time.
Right.
I didn't like that.
Well, I mean, I guess we'll see where it goes, but yeah, I'm with you. That's not, you know.
You're a champion. You want all the, you are the guy. You hold the gold. You take on all comers.
But maybe this is it. This is how he loses. You know, we break Seth Rollins, and then in his break, he, you know, rebuilds himself as Batman.
Okay. The Authors of Pain were showcased in a vignette this week.
Yeah.
Not generally speaking English. This, to me, reminded me a lot of Aleister Black.
Yeah.
They use subtitles here, which is good, because obviously, I mean, I've been one to say that Asuka should be cutting her promos in Japanese.
Well, that's, yeah.
Subtitler. With this, though, these guys just shouldn't be talking.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. With these guys and the subtitles, it's like, sure, you do this gimmick, and I mean, call it a gimmick. It's not a gimmick. But you do this bit for these guys that can speak English. But you don't do it for Shinsuke Nakamura or Asuka. It's like,
Listen, I mean, and they can both speak English, but it's not their first language. Whereas these guys, clearly their first language is English. And
No, I don't know.
You don't think so?
No. Really? No. Their first language is not English. I don't know
the language that they're speaking. I don't speak that language, but to me it sounded like they were speaking with American accents.
Okay.
So we'd have to get somebody who speaks that language to be yay or nay on that. But for me, you could have done this with Shinsuke and Asuka, and you should have.
Yeah.
And now you're doing it with guys who, you know, who don't necessarily need it.
I feel as though these guys, and listen, maybe it's just because it's the way that I've seen them in the past, more so as like silent assassins and two big dudes, and I don't feel the need of them to be talking. And along with that, I didn't like the aspect that they came in with of no one wanted to fight us in MMA. Well, that's garbage. That's not true.
It's not?
We came to WWE.
I thought that was the whole reason they didn't start a tag division at UFC. Was because they were afraid of these guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we came to WWE and we hurt people. It's like, well, you may have hurt people, but it might have just been because you're a careless worker. You know what I mean? Like it just didn't sit. And I'm sure it's not what they meant. And they hurt people because they're fighting in the ring and blah, 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 blah. But I just didn't. I didn't like the promo. I'm not saying go back to Paul Ellering, which is when I did kind of like them. I at least like their gimmick, if not necessarily what they brought to the ring. And I hated the Rockstar Spud pairing. And I'm glad they're not with Drake Maverick anymore.
Yeah.
But I think something is needed here. And also, I don't know why they're back on Raw. I mean, I could have seen these guys back in NXT.
Yeah. They're a tag team that, NXT could have used them for sure.
Continuing on with, let's go to SmackDown. And so it's Lesnar and Kofi.
Yeah.
Lesnar and Kofi. And I mean, I've been saying this from day one, whenever that day was, that Lesnar's defeating Kofi on the first SmackDown and Lesnar's new champion again. And I see this rolling out that way.
Strong disagree on that. Oh, no. They've already, like I said, they've wrestled before.
Yes.
And Brock beat Kofi.
Yeah. Destroyed all of the New Day.
Yeah, decidedly beat Kofi. Well, this is the revenge. This is where Kofi, everybody thinks Brock's going to win. Kofi's going to win this. And Kofi will be your true hero.
No.
Yep, that's what's going to happen.
You're insane.
And then Brock will beat him at their rubber match at number three. But this, the first one, Kofi's going to shock the world. That's what's going to happen here. And then we're going to be throwing pancakes out for the next few months.
Oh, my God. No, yep. Stop. Nope. Okay, break time. Break time when the pancakes come about.
You don't
about.
Like this?
I'm done. You watch Clash of Champions. Yeah. You saw what happened when Kofi came out? Did you think your TV was on mute? Because that's what the crowd sounded like.
Oh, my TV wasn't on mute?
Yeah. Terrible.
That whole show, everybody's quiet for that whole show. You can't.
Well, I agree. But I mean, they were also in a bad spot. But nonetheless, if you know, you kind of knew that match wasn't going to be great because we've seen it so many times. And I'm tired of Orton and Kofi over and over again.
Yeah, that's the thing. They can't keep doing this on TV over and over again.
But like Kofi's entrance normally gets people going. And it did not.
Yeah. They got to change it up. They got to change the pancake thing.
Sure.
But I'm telling you, they're going to change it for he's going to beat Brock, and they're going to change it.
All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to come on back, and we have got a whole nother hour here. Dave Meltzer will join us next after that Turnbuckle Trivia. It's hour two right here, Sunday night's main event. Make you banana pancakes, pretend like it's the week. Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. Well, that was just hour one, but if you want hour two, then please sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/SNMEradio. It's just $1 a week. You get the full 2 hours show, commercial free, and along with that, all of our bonus podcasts that include The Midweek Markout, All Elite Weekly, Sunday Morning Trivia, and Dan Lavransky's Music Show. All of that comes to you for just $1 a week. So go get it right now. Patreon.com/SNMEradio.